Agenda here today. We've had a few surprises at the last moment. But welcome everyone to the Judiciary Committee. We will start by opening a work session for measure introduction. Senator Beyer.
Madam Chair, I move LC 2430 and LC 2732 be drafted as committee bills.
Senator Beyer has moved that LC 2732 and LC 2430 be introduced as Judiciary Committee bills. Is there any discussion? Any objections? So ordered. Okay. Now, we shall announce that Senate Bill 76 has been taken from today's agenda, so we will move into a public hearing on Senate Bill 81. Council.
Thank you, Madam Chair and members of the committee. Senate Bill 81 expands the information that a court must provide to a defendant before the defendant enters a plea of guilty or no contest. Present ORS 135.385 establishes various information that a court has to provide to a defendant, the idea being to ensure that the defendant makes a plea of guilty in a criminal case or no contest, knowingly and voluntarily. There's a certain list of criteria that the court presently has to let the defendant know before the defendant pleads. For example, you have the right to a trial by jury, you're waiving that right, etc. What Senate Bill 81 does is it expands the information that a court has to provide to include the following, a summary I'll give. If the defendant is pleading to a domestic violence offense, federal law may prohibit the defendant from possessing or transferring any firearm or ammunition. Also, a domestic violence conviction may hurt the defendant's ability to serve in the armed forces of the United States or to be employed in law enforcement.
Okay, we have Rod Harder signed up. Welcome, Rod.
Chair Burdick, members of the committee, for the record, I'm Rod Harder. I'm the Oregon consultant for the National Rifle Association. My testimony will be very brief. We are in support of Senate Bill 81 in the version that it is written.
Thank you very much. We are always happy to come to the aid of the NRAs and Mr. Harder.
I'm sure.
Okay, is there anybody else here who would like to testify on this bill?
Madam Chair, that was the best testimony we've heard all session, I think. So.
it was very articulate, I thought. Let's see. This was introduced at the request of the military department. There's nobody here. It seems pretty straightforward.
Madam Chair.
Senator Beyer.
Just simply, it says that there may be a fiscal impact, but I can't imagine it be very big. Do we have any information about that yet?
We didn't get a fiscal on this, of course, we wouldn't have.
I can't imagine what it would be, can you?
The court already has to provide notification on other things. So
yeah, I can't imagine it could be very big. I'm just reading what it says on the SMS, so I was just wondering if it was an actual document. But I'm comfortable moving it if you are.
Okay, I'm very comfortable moving it. Maybe the only thing they get moved today, so. I will close the public hearing on Senate Bill 81 and open a work session on Senate Bill 81.
Madam Chair, Senate Bill 81 to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Senator Beyer has moved Senate Bill 81 to the Senate floor with a due pass recommendation. Is there any discussion?
Yeah, Madam Chair, I just on the fiscal impact, they may have looked at it and said, I mean, they obviously haven't looked at it yet, but I think intuitively we can make that determination just because there's no report. So, this is just adding a small piece to what's already required to be done. I can't see where there'd be any fiscal impact.
Well, and that's one possible interpretation. I happen to agree with it. But if there is a larger fiscal, then I'm sure it will be discovered when it gets over to the other side. I just mainly wanted to find out if anybody has any policy concerns. Okay, any other discussion? Any objections? So ordered. Senator Beyer, would you like to carry this?
Sure.
Okay, now we get into fun and games. We will open a work session on Senate Bill 127. Council.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Senate Bill 127 was part of the Restitution Reform Task Force. What it does is it allows a court to designate an award of economic damages to a crime victim as a compensatory fine, as restitution, or as both. The significance of the bill is that presently compensatory fines are what are considered class one. That means that 100% of any available dollar would go towards the payment of the compensatory fine and therefore to the victim, whereas restitution is something that is a category two. It is split 50-50 each available dollar between what goes to the victim as restitution and then what would go to the state for court costs, etc. Senate Bill 127 allows the court to designate an award of economic damages, which are quantifiable money losses, to a crime victim as a compensatory fine or as restitution or both.
Okay. Would you like to tell us about the fiscal impact statement that we just received?
Yes. Just received a sort of tentative fiscal impact statement, which cites a figure of $1,795,664.45. That's based on, I believe that data came from the idea that there's an available pool of money that defendants have to pay their financial obligations. And at present, if the obligations are restitution, half of it is going towards the state court costs, and half of that available pool of money is going towards the victims. If Senate Bill 127 were to pass, it would allow victims to collect more at the expense of the state. The money would still be owed, but it just wouldn't be collected. And I believe that is where the $1.7 million figure that is the fiscal impact statement arises from.
Okay.
Madam Chair?
Senator Beyer.
So if I'm hearing this correctly, it's probably not really a fiscal but a revenue impact statement, because it's not costing the state money as in putting the money out. It's money they're not going to be taking in.
Correct.
Well, yeah, so why would it come from the fiscal? Because there's another office that does
it. Well, that's when, as it was described, I'm wondering if this bill should be going to Ways and Means or it should be going to revenue.
Senator, my understanding is, from what I've just said, it is money that the state would not be collecting.
Well, actually, the state does collect it, and it goes to the victims instead of the state. I mean, the money's collected, right?
The way restitution is paid, Chair Burdick, is that the court receives the payments, and then the court is responsible for getting it to the victim.
Ways and Means.
Ways and Means. Okay.
Yeah, the court.
Okay. So, what I'd like to do, committee, is eventually send this on its way to Ways and Means via Senator Beyer's motion, but I'd like to find out if anybody has any policy concerns with this bill before we entertain a motion like that.
No, I like the bill.
Okay. Senator Pazanski, you okay with the bill? Okay, Senator Beyer, I would like a motion.
Madam Chair, I move that Senate Bill 127 be sent to the floor, the due pass recommendation via the President's office going to Ways and Means.
That sounds like a good motion, Senator Beyer. Is there any discussion? Any objection? So ordered.
Exactly.
I think we got the drift. The Secretary of the Senate will be rushing up here any moment if you miss some words there, Senator Beyer, but I have every confidence in you. Okay. Should we open a... let's open a work session. This is one that needs a two-word amendment.
That's right.
We'll open a work session on Senate Bill 131 and call Ronell Schenkel, who will tell us about an amendment. Ronell, why don't you come on up and...
Yeah. Like this one, too.
Welcome to the committee.
Thank you, Chair Burdick and members of the committee. For the record, I'm Ronell Schenkel with the Attorney General's Office, and I apologize. I was taking a note about the fiscal impact. We're doing 132, correct? 131. Thank you. On Senate Bill 131, related to supervising authority, this is the one with the juvenile directors. We had some dialogue with them at the public hearing or after the public hearing and indicated that we could do some amendments to this bill to appease some of their concerns. And Mr. Boss is here to explain to you what that amendment would be.
Yes, for the record. My name is Fred Boss. I'm with the Oregon Department of Justice. Chair Burdick, there is one amendment on Senate Bill 131 that we do have, and it is on page 2, line 4. The present bill states the supervising authority shall be authorized to collect payments under this section and to modify any payment schedule established under this section. What we would like to do, and I believe this is from the Oregon Judicial Department, is take out the authorization to collect payments, because payments now go through the court administrator's office, and that's the proper flow of payments. And just simply have the supervising authority shall be authorized to modify any payment schedule established under this section.
Okay, and it's all coming back now. So has the amendment been requested? Do you know?
Chair Burdick and members of the committee, we have not provided that text, but we wrote it here today, and we'll provide it to council if you so desire, so it can be sent down today.
Okay, if you would work with council and then maybe pull some strings to get it done at legislative council.
Thank you very much.
I have a question.
Thank you. Senator Walker has a question.
Thank you. I'm having a bill drafted, but... and I'll tell you about that in a minute. I want to ask you, when someone has restitution or a fine and they're sent to prison and they're serving their sentence and they have this outstanding fine and restitution order, where does it go and how do you collect while they're in prison?
Chair Burdick, Senator Walker, we happen to have a bill on that.
Ah, so do I.
It's Senate Bill 128. The
what is the status of that bill?
Chair Burdick, the public hearing was held in this committee. It was also in the series of restitution reform task force bills. And I believe we have a meeting with you tomorrow to talk further about the concerns that were expressed in that public hearing and get direction from the committee.
Okay.
Is that, might I ask, is that the bill that was going to default anyone's bail money for restitution purposes?
Chair Burdick and Senator Walker, no, that was another bill in the series. This one is to enable collection from inmates while they are incarcerated, I believe through a continuing garnishment, which is an existing statutory enforcement tool.
Okay.
Chair Burdick, Senator Walker, if I could amplify on that. Currently, it's difficult to collect from incarcerated individuals because of the law creates a presumption that they have insufficient funds for collection. So there has to be, when they are incarcerated, there has to be a specific finding currently, under current law, a specific finding that they have the ability to pay their restitution or their outstanding fines before you can collect. That's different than the law of restitution as it has been reformed through the Restitution Reform Task Force and the various bills for the last few sessions that creates a presumption that the defendant can pay, and then the defendant has the obligation to come forward and say, I can't and I need a payment schedule. Our bill in Senate Bill 128 just conforms the presumptions. It is the presumption that an incarcerated individual actually can pay either a fine or a restitution unless they have demonstrated an inability to pay and then sought a payment schedule.
And Madam Chair,
Senator Walker,
now we're getting to my bill, because it's my understanding that sometimes these are assigned to collection agencies or other agencies and that interest is charged on the fine and the restitution. And so I have a bill being drafted that says you can't charge interest while they're serving in a correctional facility. And so tell me, do you address that issue?
Chair Burdick, Senator Walker, that is not addressed in our bill.
Okay, let me stop this here. We've got a work session on another bill. And I'm just worried about the legalities of bringing up another bill that isn't before us now. Senator Beyer.
Question on 131.
Yes.
Thank you. Do you also need to modify the language on page 3, lines 14 and 15, that has the exact same language?
Chair Burdick, Senator Beyer, correct. Yes. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay. Why don't we have, do you have anything else to say, or does anybody else have any other questions on this bill before us? Why don't you work with council, and my apologies that we didn't get an amendment drafted earlier to take care of this, but why don't you work with council, get an amendment in both places to take care of the issue, and we will bring this back.
Thank you, Chair Burdick.
Thank you.
Why don't you stay put, because I think you're up on the next one, too. Close the work session on Senate Bill 131. Open a work session on Senate Bill 132. Council.
Thank you, Chair Burdick and members of the committee. On Senate Bill 132, it attempts to reconcile recent and proposed adult restitution reform with juvenile restitution law. Senate Bill 132 is also a product of the Restitution Reform Task Force. Among other things, it makes a juvenile code definition of economic damages and victims consistent with adult definitions. It clarifies that juvenile restitution laws apply even when juveniles enter into formal accountability agreements or diversion programs. And it clarifies that a money judgment from a juvenile court is a criminal judgment for purposes of collection under ORS 18. It permits a juvenile court to award a compensatory fine in addition to or in lieu of restitution, akin to Senate Bill 127 that we just discussed. And it allows a court to award a juvenile crime victim less than the full amount of restitution with the written victim consent.
Thank you. Council, did we have an amendment that was brought in late in the day on this?
We just did, yes.
And what would would you describe the amendment?
Yes. The amendment seeks to alter Section 2.2 of the bill. So that would be on the first page, looks like lines 16 to 20. And the idea, if you look at line 19, I believe, it refers to the clerk shall credit and distribute the payment. What this proposed amendment addresses is that the idea that the court clerk shouldn't be doing this for juvenile restitution collection. It should be the juvenile department that handles it, and they have mechanisms in place to handle it already. If I can read just from a letter from the Oregon Juvenile Department Directors Association. Juvenile departments believe we are doing a very good job of collecting restitution and getting it back to victims in a timely manner. That's pretty much it.
Okay. Did you all have any comments on this particular piece of it?
Chair Burdick, for the record, Ron L. Schenkel with the Attorney General's Office. We have a copy of that letter that was provided to the committee, and we support those amendments, and we're happy to stay and work with council on getting that language for Elsie.
Okay. Senator Beyer.
Thank you, Madam Chair. When we first heard this bill, you also indicated that you needed a housekeeping amendment to necessary to clarify the victim's consent must be in writing if restitution will be awarded in less than the full amount. Is that amendment also still pending? Is that the same one?
Chair Burdick and Senator Beyer, that is also pending. As we testified, it is a different one. I believe Mr. Boss can point you to those pages if you wish us to do so. That was in our testimony at the first hearing, and that is a separate issue from what came forward from the juveniles.
No,
the amendment.
The actual language of that amendment, no, I don't have.
Okay, well, we got two amendments to work on then, and we will do that and bring this bill back. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair Burdick, members of the committee.
On 132. Thank you, Senator Beyer. I forgot about that one. Okay, Senate Bill 133. We have some bigger issues with this one. Council, why don't you enlighten us here?
Senate Bill 133 is, again, a product of the Restitution Reform Task Force. Thank you, Chair Burke. What it does is it provides that a disclaimer of property is a transfer of property under an act, the Fraudulent Transfers and Conveyances Act. It bars a disclaimer if the resulting transfer of property would be fraudulent. In short, the idea is that debtors will sometimes disclaim inheritances that should be used to pay the debtor's creditors. The example that was first and foremost in the minds of the Restitution Reform Task Force relating to restitution is that prisoners have disclaimed receiving an inheritance in order to provide money or shift money to their families instead of using it being used to pay crime victims and a debt that they owe. Senate Bill 133 would attempt to prevent this practice by prohibiting such disclaimers if they would be fraudulent. I believe the concerns that have arisen from Oregon State Bar persons and then the Restitution Reform Task Force are the implications of this bill beyond the criminal restitution world.
Mr. Boss, would you like to comment on that?
Chair Burdick, members of the committee, I like the bill just fine.
Would you identify yourself for the record?
I'm sorry. Fred Boss with the Oregon Department of Justice. This morning, we received word that the Oregon State Bar had some concerns with this bill and wanted to discuss potentially amending or altering the form. Other than that they have concerns, I don't know the specific nature of their concerns.
Well, as I understood it, and they met with me as well, that this bill is a lot broader than just the prison population, and they feel that there are specialists in this area at the bar feel that it would make probably unintended changes in the overall Oregon law quite outside of the prison setting. So what I'd like to do is have you work with people in the bar. I don't think I sensed any discomfort on the committee with what the bill is trying to accomplish.
My notes, Madam Chair, said good bill from the last meeting.
Well, case closed. So let's just make sure it does what it's supposed to do and nothing else, and then we can bring this bill back. So if you'd work with our friends at the bar and with counsel to get this to narrow it down as much as you need to.
I guess I'd be mindful. I'm not sure that I object to the language as it currently is in a broader context. To be able to disclaim to avoid creditors, whether you're in or out of the penal system, I think it fits in all cases, but be interested in hearing the discussion.
And that is a worthy discussion, but that's not the way this bill was presented. So we need to, if we want to have, what I'd like to do is when we get this a little bit more focused, we can have our friends from the bar come back and describe the bigger issue at the right time. And then if we decide we want to go further, then we'll know we're going further in terms of Oregon law.
Madam Chair.
Senator Byron.
Yeah, and on that note, I guess, rereading the testimony that was given, I would like to hear, it seems to me that the Department of Justice may have intended this to be a broader bill than just prisoners. And I'd like to, if that's the case, state it for the record now so we know what the intent of the bill was by their perspective.
Is that what you intended?
Chair Burdick, Senator Byer. I'm a member of the Attorney General's Restitution Reform Task Force, and that is this, and that in one context I did bring that bill. I also wear a different hat as the Chief Counsel of the Civil Enforcement Division of the Oregon Department of Justice that actually collects the debts owed to the state of Oregon, including revenue or other obligations that people may owe to the state. I think wearing my debt collector on behalf of the state of Oregon hat, that this is a bill that would enable perhaps more revenues to be brought into the state of Oregon. However, this was originally sponsored, so I think there would be, if not unintended, but a beneficial consequence for the entire state if this particular bill was passed. However, it was under the auspices of the Restitution Reform Task Force.
Okay, well, if bigger intent is intended, then we very much appreciate having that on the record during the public hearing.
All right.
Thank you. Okay. We'll work together on this. Close the work session. Is there any other business before the committee? Let me just use a little bit of our time to remind the committee that we have our out-of-town meeting on February 16th at the University of Oregon Law School, starting at 9:30. We will be talking about indoor air quality, smoking-related several bills before us.
Is there a smoking area there?
It should be a very lively hearing. It will be in the hometown of two of our committee members. And if somebody is not able to go, I need to know as soon as possible. We're counting on a full committee, and I hope...
Can you say it's starting at 9:30?
9:30 in the
morning. And we'll conclude when?
And we'll conclude by 12:30.
Okay.
Is this a Friday?
It's a Friday.
Okay.
Madam Chair.
Senator President.
Just to let you know, there is another committee that's scheduled to meet that same day in Medford, and that you have two of your members that are serving on that committee. I'm planning on raising that with the committee chair, telling them that at least I'm planning on being in at the judiciary meeting.
Is that environment? I think they changed that committee date.
Oh, maybe they did. Yeah, environment was set for the same day in Medford.
But they were supposed to avoid this. This is our assigned day.
Yeah.
Right.
So I'd be a little peeved if I find out that's true.
That, you know, what I heard as of yesterday, it was still, as of last week.
Well, Senator Prusansky, thank you for giving priority where it belongs.
To the hometown, right?
No, to judiciary.
Oh.
And the hometown. Okay. All right. If that's all, Senate Judiciary is adjourned. Okay.